Oh, it's Monday. Norman Swan is with us, as he is every Monday.
Indeed.
Regular listeners, too.
Feeling a slight sense of discomfort after the bitter end, I must say.
Look, it's the sort of volume that you'd be interested in getting as part of your Christmas stocking at all.
Size or between the cheeks.
Well, look, the implications are extraordinary. 27,000 trees are pulped every day to service our needs, Richard. It's a serious issue.
It is.
Now, Norman.
Yes.
The latest, did I read recently or hear or see on the news that a poor, unfortunate child had come down with anaphylaxis and died as a result of eating cookies at a school recently?
There are stories like this on an intermittent basis. And in fact, there was some news over the weekend about childhood allergy and changed advice on infant feeding. And it's just worth saying, and I first covered this about 18 months ago in the Health Report, this is an epidemic. So peanut allergy has gone up. It has truly gone up by an enormous amount. And it's a serious allergy, so this is not something to be ignored whatsoever. So the question is why it's gone up. And there's a reasonable argument to be made. It's gone up because of pediatricians. This is an iatrogenic epidemic.
Fascinating. Sorry, what does that mean?
I mean doctor-caused.
Ah,
that and probably also breastfeeding lobby caused. So we've been obsessed with breast only feeding for the first 6 months of life. You know, breast is best. Indeed, it's true. Yeah. And we should go on with breastfeeding as long as you feel you're able and, you know, much better than going to formula milk. Mm. However, it's probably not what happens in most of the world, or not what happened during evolution, that babies were solely breastfed. They almost certainly were exposed to solids earlier. And a fascinating study comparing, for example, Israeli children to British children. The rate of peanut allergy in Israeli children is far lower. Mm. And they're exposed to peanut products much earlier in life. The rate of peanut allergy in Asia is very low because they're exposed to peanut products very early in life. And we are delaying it and almost certainly not training the baby's immune systems to cope with these foods. And so the new regulations are introduce solids a bit earlier, you know, 4 months rather than 6 months, and not be so hung up about the foods. Now, in what we've got in the moment is that some families are in a dilemma. They've got older kids with peanut allergy. What do they do about the younger ones? And they're still going to have to be careful because the older ones genuinely have a problem. Mm. But for your first child or no children in the family, probably less hung up about it, and probably less hung up about mothers not taking peanuts in their diet. Because if you want to induce an allergy in someone, a really good way of doing it is giving very tiny amounts frequently, and that really does spark up the immune system to develop allergy. So the idea here is almost that you just treat a child normally in the first few months of life, start solids, not worry too much, mother eat normally during pregnancy. In a family at very high risk of allergy, there may be differences here, but essentially we've got to normalize children's eating and introduce solids a bit earlier. And I think this obsession with breastfeeding only, there is some evidence that that might be causing the problem. There's also a suggestion that roasted peanuts are different from boiled. You know, the way you prepare them may actually create more allergies as well.
Okay. It's interesting to me because I cannot recall when I was younger ever hearing of anaphylaxis, ever hearing of people reacting to peanuts. It was unheard of.
It was. It would have happened,
but not
nearly as common now. It truly has gone up in incidence.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Far more common now than it used to be.
Are there knock-on effects as well with parents unwilling to allow their children to get dirtied or to play in dirt?
Well, again, that's been thought to be one reason why allergies have increased, because the immune system hasn't been trained. It's not so much dirt. It's almost certainly exposure to the sorts of organisms that you should have been, that you were in contact with when the world was just a bit more natural and toilet paper was basically rope.
That's right. That's right.
We should all return to large sizal, I think,
don't
you?
To the bitter end, yes. Now, for those wealthier Radio National listeners heading overseas and going skiing, maybe off to Whistler over the Christmas break,
indeed,
Norman, and have sleep apnea, which is probably more common in our community than we realise, you have some advice.
There's been a randomised trial published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. What should you do? Because sleep apnea does get worse when you go to altitude, and the effects of altitude do affect you.
Yes.
Fascinating study, which must have been rough on some people, where they've gone to three different altitudes in Switzerland, mm-hmm. looked after by a university hospital there, and they kept them on their nasal CPAP, you know, the machine that they have.
Yes.
And then they randomised them to a drug called acetazolamide, which is a kind of a diuretic, but it's also known to treat altitude sickness, yep. versus placebo. Mm-hmm. And they did better on the combination of CPAP plus the acetazolamide.
Okay.
And their oxygen levels were higher, they slept better. And so it's worth considering with your GP if you're lucky enough to be off to Whistler or Aspen this Christmas.
Yeah. Well, have you ever been to those altitudes at all, Norman, in your travels? It is a palpable effect, isn't it?
You get headaches.
You know. You get headaches, breathlessness, and if you try to exercise. It is a palpable effect it has upon
me. It is indeed.
Yeah. Norman, thank you very much for this.
You're welcome.
And Norman, on Friday, I think the largest ever study into global patterns of disease, you'll be looking at this as well.
Yeah, this is a huge study where life expectancy has gone up around the world. It's a really good news story. It's very patchy in places. And people often want to know what's been the healthy life. What they've done for the first time here is actually stated what the healthy life expectancy increase is. So years of life without disability. And what they've shown is it's almost one-to-one. Just a little bit less than one-to-one. So for every year, extra year of life we get, about 0.8 of that year is healthy extra life expectancy. So that's pretty good news.
Yeah.
Although it's gone up more slowly, the healthy life expectancy has gone up more slowly in women than men, and they're not quite sure why.
Okay. Well, of course, Norman and the health report is at 5:30 this afternoon on RN. And Norman, I appreciate you visiting us this morning.
It's been a pleasure,
John. All the best. Thank you.